Good morning and welcome back with Rebuilding Business, a series of interviews with outstanding entrepreneurs and experienced leaders who've got reputations as trailblazers in their fields. I hope that you're enjoying our series. We're doing this every day for 10 to 15 minute interviews so that you can have a coffee and enjoy the experience of our experts. And today, as you know, we're with Jay Allen, our 2 times Global Entrepreneur Big Impact Business Award winning scale mentor. Got to the end of that sentence, and he's listed on the UK Clear Business Thinking Power 100. Now, I know that you've served as a rapid deployment soldier. I'd like to have a little quick chat about that in a little bit, if you don't mind, Jay. But I think that the massively impressive thing that you've done is you've created about £500 million in shareholder value for national chains and have set up 4 businesses, scaled and sold 2. And we're going to go on tomorrow to talk about your Add a Zero Business Challenge that you founded, which is hugely successful. But today I want to talk to you, Jay, about SWOT and why SWOT, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. Every business looks at them at some stage, don't they, and goes, okay, how do we navigate this? But you think it's deeply flawed.
Sure. Good morning, Lily. Great to be back. So there's 2 things first here. First of all, is the psychology behind using the acronym SWOT. Let me quickly give an example. We talk about strengths and we identify some of our own strengths, but then we move into weaknesses and we start to question as to why it is that, you know, the things that we haven't got that perhaps our competition has. The subconscious starts to be able to query and almost hack at all of those strengths that we were able to first list. Then we move into opportunities and all of the things that lay ahead of us and the things that we could move into. And then we attack it all by moving into threats and all of the things that perhaps are likely to get in the way and the hurdles that are going to... You see, the whole problem is the fact that whilst we've got this great analogy with regards to how to be able to combat some of the problems and starts to plans to move forward, the whole answer, the whole concept of how we deliver this is flawed in as much as we've delivered it in a negative sense that we're going to actually enter it whilst dipping our toe in the water because of the fear factor around it. Well, if we just simply want to be able to flip it on its head and talk about a TOWS assessment, TOWS, we can do exactly the same type of analysis, but it automatically puts it into a far more positive context. Watch, all of a sudden we've got the threats that are out there and we'll list all of the threats of the things that might be of a problem to us, and then we spend some time finding opportunities within those of how best to be able to move forward. Then we start to look at our own weaknesses and some of the things that we're really concerned about, and then we counteract that by finding all of the strengths in order to be able to move forward. And we've done exactly the same SWOT analysis, but by flipping it, we've been able to move it from a negative impact where we're probably dipping our toe in the water a little bit. And ironically, you dip your toe in the water, you're never going to be able to make the progress that you really want to be able to do so. And we've flipped into a more positive where you've got the drive and the determination and a clearer way forward. And you're going to dive in to have a swim. And as a result, you're automatically going to get a better outcome.
It's about priming yourself, isn't it? You're either priming yourself for negativity, for looking for what's wrong. And it's the same with whether we're working with people, whether we're working with our suppliers, whether we're looking for clients. If you look for the flaws, you will find the flaws. If you look for the opportunities, if you look for the successes, you will find them similarly. So it stops you almost, your philosophy stops people flipping into that limbic brain, fight, flight, freeze. What's everything negative that we mustn't do? And therefore you're limiting the opportunities and the things that you can do. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about it a little bit more tomorrow with the Add a Zero Challenge, but I'm a firm believer that if you only set yourself small goals, then you're going to take microscopic steps towards them in order to be able to try and achieve them in a set time period. You know, if I was to turn around to anyone who's watching this morning and say, I need you to go out and make £1 million in the next 25 years, you'll come up with a plan of how you might be able to try and carve a way towards £1 million turnover in the next 25 years. If I was to turn around to you and say, how would you do it in the next 25 months? All of a sudden, the thinking has got to flip completely, because all of the things that we've planned to do in 25 years' time, we probably can't even compress that into 25 months. We've got to start thinking differently in order to be able to achieve a different set of outcomes. And SWOT, simply flipped into TOES, is a method of being able to remove all of the negativity from it to be able to find a positive way forward.
And actually that finishing up on that, it's a little bit like the, if I can say, you know, the kind of poo sandwich. Yeah, okay, well, when we're giving people feedback, we'll start off with something positive. We will look at the negative, but I think you have to look at that. But actually then let's look at the, what's your future look like? Let's make a three-dimensional, what's it feel like? What's it look like? What's it taste like? How are we going to measure it? And I also like the thing with you, very similar, I find, with true entrepreneurs, is they tend to go, what's possible, and then let's add a zero, or let's add two zeros or three zeros, and that it really flips and changes your thinking, doesn't it? Now, you've got a similar beef with SMART objectives, haven't you?
I have completely. I mean, why would anyone set a SMART objective where two of the letters say achievable and realistic? To me, that just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. You're already creating a flaw based on your current level of thinking. Mm-hmm. Whereas I want to remove the current situation of the difficulties and the uncertainty, and I want to take us into a place where anything is possible, the life of an abundance, and then say, what do you want to achieve? You know, I often ask people very early in the conversation, if money nor time were an objection, what would you subsequently do? And it opens up a completely different level of thinking to that of achievable or realistic. Ironically, I don't want to take all of the fun from this or the credit, because a good friend of mine and a fellow speaker, David Heiner, is an exceptional guy and has spent the last 10, almost 12 years now interviewing over 250 people around the world that he believes are the very best at what they do. And the diversity of people he's interviewed are, as he, in his words, anything from politicians to pop stars and anywhere between the two. And he's posed to them this idea and concept of SMART objectives. Did you apply SMART objectives to being able to achieve the very top in your industry? And all 250 plus interviewees have said, what the hell's a SMART objective? Surely it's far better to be dumb. So we've come up with an alternative acronym, which I believe is far more encouraging of being able to think differently as opposed to achievable and realistic. And it's called dumb objectives.
Go on then, fire away. Fire away, share. I have a question to ask in a minute, but fire away.
Cool. First of all, dream driven. Don't start thinking about achievable or realistic. Set your goal high. Dream-driven objectives about what would the best in the world do, as opposed to what could I achieve in Huntingdon, or I'm sure there are other places available also. U is for uplifting. Find a positive method of being able to deliver what it is that you want to achieve. Don't say, well, if this and then possibly that. And if we've got all the uncertainty about it, there's nowhere to be able to engage other people within it. We've got to be able to get people behind us and draw us forward. So having uplifting, dream-driven statement that people can buy into is key to being able to get people to buy into it. Thirdly, M is for motivating. You've got to have a motivator to be able to drive you forward. All human performance is based on either carrot or stick. And if we haven't got a big enough carrot, the only thing we're left with is a bigger stick. So we've got to be able to have a motivating cause that everyone can get behind and then communicate it in such a manner that is behavior driven as opposed to outset or output driven. We've got to be able to look at results as opposed to impact. It's not about what do you put in, it's about what do you achieve out. Yeah. and reward on behaviors as opposed to find a need to be able to penalize people for not following a system. Find reasons to be able to say yes and encourage as opposed to reasons to say you didn't follow.
Actually, this, it really ties in, because as you know, I've been running this project since the beginning of lockdown called Cakes of Kindness, where I saw an amazing lady, Dawn Bilborough, who was a critical care nurse, in tears right at the beginning of lockdown because she could get no food because people were selfishly stripping the shelves. And I thought, I know loads of Dawn Bilboroughs. So I thought, you know what? And the one thing I can do is bake a cake. So I started baking and I just thought, I'm going to bake 1,000 cakes. And obviously I'm running my business at the same time. But I thought, no, it's got to be a Haggie that we've talked about already. You know, one of those hairy ass audacious goals. And I just thought, if I can get out and hit 1,000 people with cakes during my spare time. But that was, I think, it really turned into a dumb project. Because once we hit 1,000, I hit 1,000, I thought, you know what, we'll do 10,000 cakes. And now we're at 13,000 cakes at the moment and still growing, because people went, they weren't getting paid. They just believed in it. They had the motivation to want to do something that made a difference. It really aligned people behind, their behaviors aligned to going, yes, I'm going to find the most vulnerable people or the key workers and the NHS staff, and got on board. So I think your dumb analogy works really, really well. Can I just ask you something a little bit outside the box here? Because I love your attitude to business. I love, you normally like to look at things and think, well, that's not working, so you smash it up and you build something new. Where did this come from? Because you were in the army for quite a significant amount of time. I know when you were a rapid deployment soldier, you have to be able to think on your feet, but you also have to be able to follow process. So what was it about what you were doing then that prepared you for what you're doing now?
Lily, it's a great question, and I owe all of it to two people within the regiment. First of all, our regimental sergeant major, Mr. Mick Germain, W01 Mick Germain, forgive me. He will scold me later, I'm sure. For the inspirations to be behind us and to be able to hold the teams together through thick and thin, and be able to demonstrate to us that group think is far better than individual thinking. Collectively, we can always achieve more than we could ever do if we weren't as part of a team, and understand the nature and the necessity of team mentality. But then also to who at the time was our commanding officer, who went on to become a three-star general, Jeremy Rowan, Lieutenant Colonel Jeremy Rowan, when I worked under him and served under him, who was one of those mavericks that was exceptional at being able to see a solution to perhaps a problem that other people hadn't yet identified, and often broke protocol with the best intent. It could, because it wasn't about being able to deal with the current problem. It was understanding the overarching vision and values of the army, and saying, how does what we do contribute towards that? Even if sometimes the protocol at a quite a senior level was determining otherwise, or was perhaps a little bit deviated in course, is to be able to oversee the hurdles, to be able to see the impact on the overall of the overall mission, as it were, and being able to say, how do we make the big enough in contribution towards overcoming that? And to be able to have served under Lieutenant Colonel Jeremy Rowan, not only in battle, in field operations, but also in the regiment back in barracks, both as a junior soldier and into junior leadership, and then middle management, and to be able to have exposure to that type of thinking and that consideration really, really helped me set me apart whilst I was in the military. And then subsequently, a lucky break. I orchestrated a lucky break to be in the right place at the right time with the right people that subsequently enabled me to be able to demonstrate that to, you know, one of the key founder members of the largest supermarket in the UK, that subsequently said, you know what, we haven't got one of those type of thinkers on our team, perhaps we ought to have one. And it got the biggest break that I've had since then, to be able to go and work at a senior leadership team level, and to be able to help steer the ship or support steering the ship for a while at a corporate level, which subsequently led to the growth that we talked about at the very beginning.
I love the word you said earlier on, that you were lucky enough. It's amazing how focused visionary people who have purpose and who have goals, who put all of their behaviours and their intentions behind the delivery of that goal, they find that they get a lot of luck, don't they?
Well, you know, the old expression, you create your own luck. Yeah. Yes, there is an element of luck, but you do create it. You've got to have the absolute clarity with regards to what it is that you're trying to achieve. And not just here and now, not just in the moment. It's not about being able to pay the salaries at the end of this month. It's about being able to say, what would the best in the world do? And how do I currently compare both as a business and my contributions to that as possible? And if we move away from money orientated goals and start moving towards impact related goals, ironically, money gets bored and simply comes to find you.
Yeah, well, that's a lovely thing to hear. And we're going to hear more of that tomorrow when we talk about the Add a Zero Challenge, where we are going to help people significantly to build more and more luck. and with a little bit of luck.
And sustainable luck.
Yeah, fantastic. Jay, as always, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you in the morning. I think on Thursday, Eve, you might want one of those ciders that you mentioned yesterday.
Amen. You take care. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow. Take care, lovey.